At my nod, the nursemaid turns Henry onto his back and lifts his nightgown. His chest and belly are covered with red spots, some of them merging into one another. His face is swollen with the rash, and behind his ears and on his neck there is no normal skin at all. He is flushed and sore all over. "Is it the measles?" I ask her shortly.
"That's all the pox," she says.
Dozing beside Henry, Arthur cries a little when he sees me, and I lift him from the hot sheets and sit him on my knee. I can feel his small body is burning hot.
"I'm thirsty," he says.
"Thirsty."
The nurse gives me a cup of small ale, and he drinks three gulps and then pushes it away.
"My eyes hurt."
"We've kept the shutters closed," the nursemaid says quietly to me. "Henry complained that the light hurt his eye, so we closed them. I hope we did right." "I think so," I say. I feel such dread at my own ignorance. I don't know what should be done for these children, nor even what is wrong with them. "What does the doctor say?" Arthur leans back against me. Even the nape of his neck is hot under my kiss.
"The doctor says that it's probably the measles, and that, God willing, they will all three recover. He says to keep them warm."
We're certainly keeping them warm. The room is stifling. A fire in the grate and a glowing brazier under the window. The beds heaped with covers, and all three children sweating, flushed with heat. I put Arthur back in his hot sheets and go to the little bed where Ursula is lying limp and silent. She's only three. She's tiny. When she sees me, she raises her small hand and waves. But she doesn't speak or say my name. I round with horror on the nursemaid.
"Her mind hasn't gone,"
she exclaims defensively.
"She's just wandering because of the heat. The doctor said that if the fever breaks, she will be well. She sings a little, and she whimpers a little in her sleep, but she hasn't lost her mind. At any rate, not yet."
I nod, trying to be patient in this overheated room with my children lying around like beached corpses on a strand.
"When does the doctor come again?"
"He'll be on his way now, your ladyship. I promised I'd send for him as soon as you arrived so that he could talk with you. But he swears that they will recover."
She looks at my face.
"Probably,"
she adds.
"And the rest of the household?" "A couple of page boys have it. One of them was sick before Henry. And the kitchen maid who looks after the hens has died. But no one else has taken it yet."
"And the village?"
"I don't know about the village."
I nod. I will have to ask the doctor about that. All sickness on our lands is my responsibility. I will have to order our kitchen to send out food to cottages where there is illness. I will have to make sure that the priest visits them, and that when they die they have enough money for the grave diggers. If not, I will have to pay for a grave and a wooden cross. If it gets worse, I will have to order that they dig plague pits to bury the bodies. These are my obligations as the Lady of Staunton. I have to care for everyone in my domain, not just my children. And as usual, as is always the case, we have no idea what causes the illness, no idea what will cure it, no idea when it will pass onto some other poor, blighted village and kill people there.
"Have you written to my lord?" I ask.
My steward, waiting on the threshold of the open door, replies for her.
"No, my lady. We knew he was travelling with the Prince of Wales, but we didn't know where they were on the road. We didn't know where to write to him."
"Write in my name and send it to Ludlow," I say. "Bring it to me before you seal and send it. He will be at Ludlow within a few days. He might even be there now. But I will have to stay here until everyone is well again. I can't risk..."